We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Rich Orenberger will join us in 30 minutes here on BSNG. Former player, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, also played at Pitt State. We'll get his thoughts on the Big Ten postponing football until the spring. Big Ten and Pac-12 out so far. Looks like the Big 12 is still in. We know the SEC is probably still in right now in the ACC. So we'll talk to Rich Orenberger, host down at Extra 1360 down in San Diego. We'll talk to him at about 11:30 here on BSNG about all that stuff here as we're talking about Dame Dalla. It's Steph Curry. The timeline was buzzing last night, fellas. It was buzzing. Damian Lillard with 61 points. And you start seeing the tweets. You start seeing the texts. I'm sure you guys all got texts about Damian Lillard. People think now he's the best point guard in the NBA. Does Damian Lillard have a case? Does he have a case as numero uno? Or does he have to win something? Does he have to win a title? Does he have to win an MVP? What does Dame Dalla have to do to overtake Steph Curry?
I'm going with Steiny said real quick, fellas. Steiny, you said it's go time right now. I'm expecting him to win that Saturday play-in game because it looks like they'll be in. And then it's what you do against a LeBron-led Laker team. But up until this point, I just feel like it's disrespectful to Steph. Because at the end of the day, and I said this point, it didn't sound like it resonated with you too, but if and I'm going to say it again,
yeah,
Steph can say, I'm your daddy to Dame in regard to the reason you ain't got to the finals is I've been in your way. And I think that means something. And it's happened pre-KD and after KD. I wonder if Dame's so mad when he looks at Steph. And I know there's respect, Steiny and Bonte, but Steph is really the reason the Pacific Division's been on lock. And the reason you get ousted is I send you home, whatever, you know, edition of the Warriors it is, I've done that. So I just don't know how Dame can have any supremacy over Steph on any level right now, even though the run is great, Steiny.
Well, he can have supremacy over him now because he's playing. And that's I actually mean that. Like, literally, he's getting, because Steph's not playing, it hurts Steph. I think next year is going to be fascinating. And it's too bad that this past year wasn't that way. But you know what? I don't think it would have been a true test anyway because Klay's not there.
Right.
I mean, don't you think – you look at the history of the Warriors in Portland the last 5 or 6 years.
Right. It's been one-sided.
I think if next year, you know, Warriors make a move or two, Klay's back, Portland does their thing, maybe gets another player. I think it's fair to say – Which team you think is going to be better? I think the answer off the top is, well, you got to give it to the Warriors because they've done it before.
And you don't know what Portland's going to look like next year with Nurkic and Melo.
Exactly.
And, yeah, no doubt.
So I want to, like, to me, Steph Curry's going to have to, like, I cannot hold it against Steph Curry because he doesn't have to play like Damian Lillard. But next year, I got to believe, will be the closest he's got to play to Damian Lillard
in a long
time. And maybe we'll get a better sense for what he can do in that kind of role. Because, you know, I mean, but again, we've kind of seen it. The guy averaged 30 a game.
I was just going there. Unanimous MVP, Bonte. Right. He was close
but
to that.
There's a text on the 510 who said Steph has had this Dame run, the run that Dame is having in the Orlando bubble. He had this run for a whole season. And he's referencing that 2016 season when they won 73 games.
There you go.
So that's a good point there from the 510. Another text here I want to read after Jonathan that I find very, very interesting. And I think this is why the conversation is so juicy. Jonathan in San Francisco. You're 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Hey, fellas. You know, when we're discussing Curry and just most people,
Hey, Jonathan, call us back. Not a bad line
Jay,
here. Call
ready.
Us right back, Jay. Call us right back.
We're here, and they're there.
Yeah, we need you back here, Jonathan. Come back. Give us a call back. 415, and this is what I was referencing to. We kind of touched on it a little bit during the break in our pre-show meeting. Steph is a legend in Damian Lillard's hometown that's got to bug Dame a bit.
Mm.
And I wonder conversation would have the legs that it has if Dame Dollar wasn't from Oakland. There's that Oakland component.
No doubt.
Where Dame from Oakland, and he is. He represents Oakland as well as anybody we've seen.
He's Jason Oakland. Ginn, the
Gary
town.
Payton, yes, Marshawn Lynch. He's there. We feel him. We feel him. That's why we root for Dame Lillard. I think Warrior fans root for Dame Dollar, and it's something there. But the fact that Steph is taking over this market and it's Dave's market, is there something there, Steiny?
God, that's interesting.
It's got to be Steiny.
I don't know. Part of me thinks no. Part of me thinks, well, I don't know, maybe. You know what I mean? I mean, Lillard's always going to be Lillard in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's interesting. I'd never really thought about it that way.
Boy, that's a great question.
thanks, Tim.
You got me there.
You have to think that Lillard grew up and dreaming that what if I played for my hometown team, right?
He's
living my dream, like, you know, being a baller for my home team. That has to cross his mind, even when he's in Weber State, Bonte?
Weber State, there you go.
Yeah, I was about to say Weber.
Oh,
I will say this. This is the most civil. Here's what I think. This is one of the most civil conversations we've ever had when we compare Steph Curry to another player. And I do think it's because
we all
know Damian Lillard's from
real.
Here.
Wow.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Great.
If, Stein, if this were James
point.
Harden.
Yeah. Oh, there would have been fireworks, right?
Yeah, right.
We wouldn't have made it to 11 o'clock today.
Yeah, hey, I just said that like, this is pretty civil. This is going good.
No, and you know what? There's Bay Area guys know that Dame Lillard carries the Bay on his back. When he's up there in Portland,
right,
he brings
exactly.
Oakland to Portland.
The zero on his jersey is for Oakland. Yeah, the O for Oakland.
There is something there, and everybody respects Dame's hustle. And it's the same type of hustle that I think Curry had. Even though Curry, you know, his pops was in the NBA, and we know he comes for money. But they both were overlooked in high school. They both had to go to small colleges. Dame, I think, went to three different high schools, crying out loud. Didn't even play his sophomore year at St. Joe's when he was going at St. Joe's in Alameda. So there is something there. That's a good point, Steiny, that knowing that he's from Oakland, there's a respect factor there for Dame.
Definitely.
People think Steph's better. But people definitely respect Dame Lillard and where he's at with this game. Let's go back to Jonathan in the city. Jonathan, what's happening?
Hey, man, sorry about that, guys. Technology and stuff. Anyway, you know, I like Lillard, man. He's my second favorite point guard in the NBA because of who he is. But when we argue Steph Curry and comparing to other players, we forget that most people forget that one of the most important part of Curry, you know what it is? His character. Aside from his shooting skill, second most important part of Curry is who he is as a man. I mean, this guy allows a franchise to do a lot of things. I mean, who in history of the sports, an alpha dog, lets another guy have the limelight and say, hey, there's a spotlight, enjoy. It's Curry, man. That's unprecedented. He set up the league in a way where, hey, you know what, it's your team, but if you let another guy come in and, you know, share the ball, he could have a dynasty. And, you know, Curry, we always be loved in Golden State in the Bay Area because not just because of the shooting prowess. It's, like I said, man, it's one heck of a man. And you know, when you argue Curry, you cannot just discuss his skill as a basketball player and his whole makeup as a human being. And Steph Curry's like, he's a messiah in this part. You know what I mean? But Lillard's not a bad guy, but think about it. Does Draymond Green become Draymond Green if he played with Lillard? Does Klay Thompson become the playmaker, you know, defend the perimeter and catch and shoot Klay? I don't think so, man. Curry made it all happen. It's because of who he is. He even let Durant have his limelight.
The one thing I'll say is they're clearly different people. But everything I've heard about Dame Lillard is he's the real deal off the court, too. Now, I'm not, like, I don't even want to judge that part of both guys because both those guys are so far superior to ordinary
men. Wouldn't even be fair.
Right.
No,
yeah. No doubt.
So, like, I just think I think both those guys, you got to give them unreal credit for kind of the kind of guys they are. You know, Lillard's a little more edgy than Curry, but he's no less of a solid person, it doesn't seem like.
Think about this real quick, fellas. This was just announced an hour ago. Adidas put all of Damian Lillard's shoes on sale for $61. $61 right now. You go get you a pair of Dame Dollars for $61.
I wish he was with Nike.
But then, to your point, Steiny, Damian Lillard out there in Portland giving out free shoes. During the fight for police brutality, fellas, Dame Lillard's out there locking arms with the people of Portland. I mean, in that degree, in that department, they're both the same. You can't.
Yeah, no.
There's nothing to critique there. They're both quality human beings.
Yeah, and I know for a fact I was out Sobrani Park in Oakland right off 98th Avenue, and Dame Lillard was out there with Mr. Fab and some other Oakland celebs, just throwing like a carnival, giving backpacks for school. So, you know, okay, that's what they do in their hometown. But Dame's a real one. But last night when he looked in that camera after the game was over and said, put some respect on my – he had some other words on my name. That was my version of Steph saying, I'm back. You know, even though it was different messages with Steph. Steph looked at that camera and said, I'm back. He missed something. And I just, you know, I'm happy for Dame. I just, Steiny, the big test, the final test, if you want to call it that, or exam, is can he go berserk even if Portland were to lose but be competitive in the first round of the playoffs? Can he still get those numbers? And that'll go a long way for me with Dame because right now, and I'm going to say this, and you guys are going to go, Guru, you're selfish. There's nothing outside of a ring, some may say, more important than being an MVP in the league. We think of Durant, Iverson, the Kobe's, the Shaq, Steph. And Dame doesn't have that, and Steph has two. And you're tested every night, Bonte, by a different team, the monotony of the season. There's a lot that goes into that. And your boy Steph Curry is sitting with two, and Dame doesn't have any. I'm not taking anything away from him, but – you got to start there first before we even start talking about a ring, right?
Not necessarily, but it's going to be a tough hurdle to climb. Again, that's there's two different things here. Who's had a better? I mean, the Steph Curry's got three titles and two MVPs. I mean, boom. But we're talking about this minute,
right now.
This second.
Nah, I can't.
And I don't – like, that's what I mean. Honestly, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what the Warriors are.
We're all waiting. I can't wait, y'all.
Draft lottery coming August 20th.
Thursday, right?
And this all season is the final phase. I think the Warriors have done a good job of getting rid of D'Angelo Russell and trading him for Wiggins. Now – I just think Wiggins is a better fit with this team. I always thought, how is D'Lo going to play with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? I always thought he should come off the bench in that aspect to become Manu Ginobili 2.0. But D'Angelo Russell wants to be a starter. That's fine. Warriors did well there, I believe, in that trade. And you got a protected first-round pick from the Minnesota Timberwolves, a top-three protected pick. Minnesota finishes outside that top three. Guess what? The Warriors, back-to-back years, are going to have a top-five pick. That's all fine and dandy. Steph Curry's healthy. Klay Thompson seems to be healthy. what happens during the draft lottery, who do they pick, who do they select, and what do they do with this trade exception. It is fascinating, fellas, what the Warriors will look like, because watching that bubble, what do you think they're doing watching these games here? You're watching these games, and you're seeing Dame Lillard drop 61. You're seeing Luka going crazy. You're seeing the Phoenix Suns grow up. The Phoenix Suns, all of a sudden, they got a little something about themselves. They got a little mojo. You know, got to give them some credit for being undefeated in the bubble. I thought they were going to win one game. One game. And they're playing well. I just wonder how the Warriors are looking at this bubble. What will they do next season? How will they look? It's the million-dollar question.
Well, Mark Stein of the New York Times talked to Curry a couple days ago, and he used the word FOMO. He says FOMO. That he feels like he's missing out,
man,
down there. And interestingly, Steve Kerr said, you know, we played that, I believe.
Yep.
When he said, you know, they had the bubble, we didn't really care, and now we're seeing what's going on down there, and we kind of feel left out.
Yep.
I can completely understand that. If I'm the Warriors, you know, I'm thinking we got to be down there. I mean, we got to be down there. So that's an interesting component to it too, man. I can't get off the thought of Damian Lillard from Oakland living in Portland, seeing Curry owning the Bay.
Oh man,
that's tough. It would be. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I don't think there's any jealousy.
Oh,
but he may feel
envy.
Some type of way.
Yeah.
He may feel some type of way where it's like, every time I go to Oracle, I know I got my family here, but look at the way they react to Steph Curry. He's like, you know, that's tough. It's like the guy transferred to high schools. You're the star player at your high school. Some guy comes in, and he just gets all the shine. And you're like, I was the man a week ago.
That's a great one.
I don't know if Dame Lillard feels like that, but there's got to be something there.
He's a competitor.
There's no way.
Yeah, no way, fellas. Well, hey, Rook. Go ahead, Stoney.
Nah, you go, man. You had something.
No, I was just going to – I was random, hashtag random. It's like Portland's living the Pelicans' life. We thought the Pelicans were going to use the bubble and get into the playoffs, and nobody knew it would be Portland. I did a gripe, who cares, when Dame said, don't just send us down there for nothing. Remember, I came at him like, oh, Dame.
Right.
And look what the Blazers have turned it into.
Quick,
kudos.
Because Rich Orenberger is going to join us at 11:30 to talk some college football and what's going on down there in San Diego. Fernando Tatis Jr., he's looking good, man. He's hitting them 500 feet right now down in a Padre uniform. But just last thoughts on the bubble, not just Dave, but you brought up the Pelicans, Guru. Who's the most disappointing team in the bubble? It's got to be either the Pelicans or Kings, right?
It's the Pelicans.
Zion Williamson looked so out of shape. It was
He's 300 pounds, Steiny. He's 300.
And it may cost Gentry's job.
40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
Yeah. Oh, there was an article yesterday about Gentry possibly being replaced. Steiny, I'm disappointed in Zion. I don't know. I know you could be like, oh, Goo, who are you? It just he looks like he's just been at the buffet, the restriction minutes, and I thought this was – you know, Adam Silver said, hey, Pelicans, wink, wink, I'm going to let you get in. Go handle
Taco
your business.
So damn good.
I'm disappointed in the Pelicans. Yeah, they got to be. I can't believe that. I can't believe New Orleans has looked this bad.
That, you know, my guy may get that job.
Tyler.
Guy named Chris Finch.
Chris Finch?
Chris Finch.
He's an assistant coach for the Pelicans. Went to the same college I went to, Franklin and Marshall College.
Congratulations!
And I'll be the first to say, he was a much better player than me.
What position was he?
Right.
He went Division III, but he could have gone Division I. He had some Division I offers at like some smaller Division I schools back east, but nobody knows
my
who
man.
He is.
You don't
so
think
we should
Ty
talk Lue? About him.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue. Mark Jackson.
Maybe.
God, I'm rooting for Mark Jackson. I helped Dusty get a job. Hopefully I can help Mark. I'll keep rooting for him.
Speaking of college, I mean, you know, the one thing I was thinking about, because we're going to get into this with Mr. Orenberger, like we're thinking about, like, I can't imagine being a senior in college you can't play your senior season of any sport, Wow. Like I played little tiny, teeny Division III basketball. And I can't imagine, like, my senior year, just not having that experience. It's like the only thing I cared about back then. I mean, seriously. I cared more about basketball, unfortunately, than classes or socializing even.
Right.
Well, classes.
Classes.
Yeah. But the point is like, holy hell. It's really a shame. It really is.
And real quick, Bonte, you sent out a tweet. We saw this on the high school level, and I got high schoolers. There were tears involved, and it was sad. You sent out those tweets, but now you're talking about college athletes that won't. I mean, man, I'm for the first time speechless in what I can say to those guys and gals that won't get this back and the ramifications it has for them trying to move on.
I mean, high school, college, these guys may never play again. Guys and girls, they may never play because it's all fall sports. It's not just football.
Oh, it's right.
I don't want to overlook the other sports in the fall. But they're never going to play on any level ever again. They may have to enter the real world, get jobs, whatever their major. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may never be able to lace them up ever again. And that's from high school, and that's from college. And go ahead, Scotty.
Let me throw this at you, Bont. I'll throw this at both you guys. And I'll give you my daughter. And it was just this is exactly what you're talking about. So her soccer team at Bishop O'Dowd went to the playoffs. They won a game. And then they played Marin Catholic, and they lost. All right? And right after – so it was the last game of her high school career, and it was devastating and all those things like we all know that can be. But right after that loss, the pandemic hit. So the team that they lost to, it was their last game too. Right. They didn't go any further.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, well, hell, which is worse? I mean, I think it's – you know what I mean?
No doubt. I think at Reardon High School out here in the city, they were getting ready to play De La Salle at home for a chance to go to the state championship. Man. Lincoln High School, little Lincoln High School, the football team that won in Division D7 where you guys ripped on them, but we all have fun with that. They were in NorCal D3 getting ready to play a playoff game and dreaming about
getting ready to play.
Dude, we got a dream of playing at the Golden One Center in Sacramento. They don't get that shot. And then you think about the economic impact it's going to have on all these cities, especially Norman, Oklahoma. We talked about it in the pre-show meeting. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Auburn, Alabama, Columbus, Ohio, Ann Arbor. I've been up there to Ann Arbor before, and it took people 5 hours to leave that stadium, the big house. 100,000 people there, the tailgates. None of that's happening. None of that. Penn State, we're going to talk to Rich Orberger, who went to Penn State. What it's like in Happy Valley, Stidey's country, in PA. You know, Happy Valley out there, Pennsylvania. It's just, boy, then you're going to ask these kids to even think about some of these conferences playing in the spring? They're going to ask some of these athletes to play two sports in one calendar year, especially for free? No, man, it's sad, man. It's actually more sad.
How do you recover?
I don't know how you recover. Did we all have friends who work in the industry, writers, announcers, behind the scenes? It's going to have not only an impact on these athletes at schools, but on people's livelihood. It's just really sad what's going
on
in college football.
Our guy Vasu, Bonte, you know, Pac-12.
Oh, Vasu. Vasu's going to be all right. I got faith in Vasu being all right. Text me about betting on the NHL. Vasu, leave me the hell alone. Change my number. I'm going to change my number because of Vasu.
He's a competitor.
I don't know about
Steiny. Steiny.
Yo.
You want to know how bad a gambler your boy is? The A's win 9 in a row. I jump on the train, and the two games I bet on them, they lose.
That's a problem.
Well, but you had them for the first 9, right?
No, I didn't. That's terrible.
Let me think about that one.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Bart, brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah. Rich Orenberger, former NFL player, played at Penn State University. He'll talk about the Big Ten. Also a host down there, Extra 1360 in San Diego. We'll talk to him about the NFL, college football, and, of course, what's going on with Fernando Tatis and the Padres right here on 95.7 The Game. And it'll be sponsored by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget you can download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, and use the Rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours. Also, tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game. Let's bring in Rich Orenberger, host at Extra 1360 down in San Diego, former Penn State Nittany Lion, former NFL player. He joins us here on BSNG. Matt Steinmetz, Dirt Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill. And Rich, good afternoon. Hopefully you guys are keeping Ernie Martinez down in check down there at Extra 1360. But we want to get into what's happening in college football first, and then we'll get to Fernando Tatis and the Padres. But, man, you played in the Big Ten. You played at Penn State. You know what college football means out there. And the fact that the Big Ten and Pac-12 already has announced that they're going to postpone everything until the spring, which I highly doubt they're going to play. Just what does it mean to you? Can you kind of explain what they're going to be missing out in Happy Valley and Big Ten country?
Oh, man. Well, to speak specifically about Happy Valley, and speaking of which, I'm very happy to be on with you guys. The issue is going to be the economic structure of that town, and this is going to be the case in cities like Ann Arbor, Columbus, Ohio, even. I mean, you're talking about cities that would be relatively anonymous overall, if it weren't for the universities associated with them. The economic structure, again, to speak about State College, Pennsylvania specifically, is built around college football. The Nittany Lions haven't produced very much in the way of success on the basketball court, but you don't need to when you have a college football team bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars a year in revenues to the university, which helps you put buildings on campuses and hire more staff and hire more professors and boost the amount that students have to pay in tuition. That football team is the economic structure of that city, and so even postponing college football can have really catastrophic effects on that town, and we'll see what the ripple effect will be in years to come, but it's not good. However, there is an enormous liability that these universities and these conferences face trying to hold a football season with amateur athletes during a global pandemic. There's a lot we don't know about this virus. There's a lot of long-term effects just being discovered today. This is a novel virus. We've never dealt with this before. And not dissimilar to the chickenpox virus, which can later in the life be a precursor to shingles, or the AIDS virus being a syndrome that is developed from the HIV virus. We have no idea if the SARS-CoV-2 virus will lead, or the infection will lead to some longstanding medical effects. And from just a litigious standpoint, these schools are trying to avoid the liability, of potentially having a class action lawsuit on their hands filed by players who were exposed during this time. And I think the conferences are doing the same. And that's why you're seeing university presidents getting in front of this and canceling or postponing or delaying their seasons to the spring.
Yeah, Rich, I'm a Pennsylvania guy and used to go to a lot of Penn State games when I was a little younger. And it's we're out here in the Bay Area, and it's really difficult to convey just how a weekend of college football in State College is. I mean, they used to say that the third largest city in Pennsylvania was State College on a Penn State Sunday, or Penn State Saturday, rather. What's going to happen to these cities? I mean, like State College in Ann Arbor, and Columbus is a little different. Obviously, it's a bigger center, but these college football towns, can they survive a year, or is the spring football viable?
Well, they'll survive because of the perspective that this won't be forever. And that will be the truth. To a greater or lesser extent, we're going to get through this. Of course, it won't, will be a little worse for wear, and there will be sacrifices. Business is obviously disproportionately affected, especially those businesses that really depend on the seasonal revenue that college football brings to these small towns. But again, like, you know, it's not just limited to the Big Ten. You know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, will we know that name? Would that come so easily to mind
right.
if it weren't for, you know, Alabama? If it weren't for Louisiana State University, we would never hear about Baton Rouge. You know, so there are a lot of little cities around this country that have become, you know, have a large economic footprint, not just in their municipalities, but also for the states they exist in, that not having a college football season kick off on time, but even potentially having it not kick off at all this year, would have a dramatic effect on. But I do think for the most part, you know, these universities will find a way to survive. You may have huge cuts in athletic departments. You may have a lot of sports teams get the axe as a result of this. And a lot of people who are employed by the athletic department looking for work. But I think overall the institutions will survive. But it's going to look all very different on the other side of this and whenever that is.
Yeah, Rich, you make good points. And, you know, the economic impact of not playing that it has on these certain states. And I was telling my guys, and this could be wrong, you let me know what you think, because the word I'm looking for is fair. Okay, you got a player, you got athletes in the Pac-12 that aren't going to play, and if somehow, let's just say the SEC continues to play and they're playing on Saturday, do you think that would be fair to the players in the Pac-12 that just had their season ripped out underneath them?
Well, fair, it's an interesting thing, right? When you talk about fairness and life in general, I'll put it this way. You know, if we're going to look at these athletes as student athletes and students first, like we're supposed to, because they're not paid, college is supposed to be the breeding ground or the education we have for the rest of life, and life isn't fair. You know, so what an unfortunate education to receive during a time of crisis, if it were to like in your hypothesis, where were to be that the SEC played and maybe the ACC played and some of these other conferences didn't, but it would be a harsh but a very real learning lesson of what life's about, because, you know, there are going to be conferences. Oh, there are already conferences, forgive me, that have looked at this risk analysis and said, no. This is wildly against our favor to host the season this year, even if we just do this in intra-conference play, because the potential risks of not only the health of the student athlete, but also the potential lawsuits that follow. I would guess that the rest of these conferences will fall in line that way, because when you're talking about a business as big as college football, the lawyers are the ones that these university directors and presidents listen to, not the doctors. And the lawyers are going to tell them this is an obscenely bad idea to push forward.
Interesting stuff. Rich Orenberger here on 95.7 The Game, hosted Extra 1360 down in San Diego. Rich, what impact will some of these conferences not playing football, what impact will it have on the NFL draft and the NFL as a whole? Because if they do play, you know, say if they do hypothetically play in the spring, guys they're going to be beat up. I don't know how they can recover in time to play in the fall. What impact do you think some of these schools not playing football will have on the NFL?
Well, it'll have a staggering impact on the ability to scout these players, to really effectively track their trajectory and what you're going to see as a result of that. And very similarly to how limited the visits to these college campuses for pro days this past draft, you know, this pandemic has already affected the scouting departments of these NFL teams. The majority of the draft were large schools, were known programs, known coaches with, you know, longstanding ties to the NFL and to their player personnel departments. You know, so that's the reason why the Ohio States of the world and the Alabamas and the LSUs and, you know, the major schools and universities that typically pump out pros had so many selections this year's draft, because there's so much more information on those players. Whereas a lot of the smaller schools that you sort of see some of these athletes sneak up into, say, the third round, the fourth round, the middle round, they really weren't represented as well, because these scouts weren't able to get out to these campuses, and that's going to be more of the same come this spring's draft. So I think it'll have even more of a resounding effect. You're going to see the majority of the athletes taken in the NFL draft are going to be out of the major conferences and the bigger name schools and bigger name programs.
Hey, Rich, before we let you go, I want to ask you about a little bit about the Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. I know there's no fans, obviously, at baseball games, and San Diego's had a little bit of a reputation in terms of maybe not the most passionate fan base. Is there excitement around the Padres and Tatis that you can tell?
Yeah, the excitement's immense, you know, because
really
what it was. Yeah, everybody was waiting with bated breath to see if this was the real thing. He played half a season last year before he left with an injury, so he missed 80 games. But the early reaction was, you know, astonishment. Like, you know, he really is as good as they said he was when he's coming up through the minors. And assuming health, I mean, Major League Baseball may have a face of the game on their hands because his talent is undeniable. And this city is really wrapping their arms around the Padres because it being the only pro sport team left, and now, unfortunately, with the delay of the college football season, the San Diego State Aztecs, won't be interfering, so to speak, with the press that the Padres are going to get. People are riding high on how talented this kid is, and it's been exciting. It really has. He's bilingual. He's got truly five tools, aggressiveness on the base path. He always seems to be a part of the story the day after the game, and so Yeah. There's a real growing excitement and enamorment with the Padres this season.
Padres playing well, Rich. Game and a half behind the Rockies. We've seen them up here in San Francisco win 2 or 3. We'll see you guys soon. And by the way, thank the heavens the Padres went back to those brown uniforms, man. Those things are sweet. I don't know what you guys are thinking down there in San Diego wearing blue, but the Browns look sweet, Rich. And thanks for the time today. Thanks for your insight. Take care down there in San Diego.
Thanks, guys. Always good being on with you.
Absolutely. Rich Orenberger, hosted Extra 1360 down in San Diego, former Nittany Lion, talking about college football and some of the impact that some of these kids not playing is going to have on their careers, on the NFL, the scouting departments. It's just, when you think about those towns, and Steiny, you talk about being at Penn State games, and Guru, I'm sure you've been to college, you talk about Fresno State being the only show in town, what it's going to have, the effect it's going to have. Look, we already know businesses they've been impacted due to this pandemic. No doubt, restaurants, nightlife, all that stuff. Right. But, man, with these college towns, you know, we heard Mike Gundy, even though we think he's an absolute fool, he talked about it back in the spring. You know, Stillwater, like, football brings so much money to this state. It is ridiculous. We've got to have it. So the Big 12 is going to try to play. But I just wonder what's going to happen with the NFL if they see that college football, they can't get through a month, like the SEC, the Big 12. What's going to happen in the NFL? And just the impact it's going to have on all these businesses, man. It's really, truly a sad situation.
Hey, speaking of money, there's some texts that are coming in, Bonte, that from A's fans, and they're begging Guru to stop betting on the Oakland A's. Stop betting on the Oakland A's.
The Tigers just helped your boy. I'm watching the Tigers.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Something good just happened.
Yeah, something good just happened. Yeah, you've been right again in this Tigers game.
Great minds think alike. Oh, my goodness. Hey. Oh, go ahead, B.
I was just going to say the White Sox team total, if you bet the White Sox team total over 4.5, you must be feeling pretty good right now.
I got something for you, too.
Thanks to the two listeners out there who did bet that game.
hey, you know, as you get older in this world, milestones, you know that word, milestones, they become more important to you, and you kind of just want to cherish them. So we got one today on BS&G. Spadoni, if you could just play real quick. Yeah.
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
False alarm.
I'm fired, right?
Nice try, Goo. Nice try, Coop.
I was feeling a little melancholy.
Hey, by the way, I tell you what.
What we got?
Giants.
Oh, how about
this
one?
They're competitive.
Giants. Go ahead, Stoddy. Go talk for a little bit, Stoddy.
Oh, wow.
No, you know, listen, I do not believe the Giants are going to make the playoffs, and I know Guru's going to tell everybody how far back they are, which is going to annoy me, but I'm going to close my ears.
I love it.
But I will say this. They play hard.
They play hard.
I mean, I guess it's – listen, the San Francisco – Gabe Kapler has not lost the San Francisco Giants.
Okay.
I think we can say that at least at this point. And I know there's another way to look at this, and I've said this too, where it's like, well, they've got young, unproven players. You know, they better be trying. But what I'm talking about is – Brandon Crawford and Pence, particularly last night, two guys that haven't really been asked to do much or who are clearly being phased out. Maybe we have to give credit to their professionalism rather than Kapler. But nevertheless, then they deserve credit for their professionalism because those guys, hey, you got to give them some credit, man. They were down three times to the Astros, knocking on the door all three games, and finally they broke through. By the way, who called it? Who called it on their text thread last night?
I did see it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm locked in.
Stiney made a prediction.
Wow.
He made a prediction. He didn't sit on the fence. I was impressed.
What was it, 6-2, 6-3?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, the Giants are winning tonight, boys.
Well, go ahead, Guru.
No, I just got to say, I got to stop putting them in the coffin. And you know what, Steiny?
No,
I know.
No, you don't.
I do. I thought they were done, and I'll give Gabe this. And I don't think they quit on him in Philly. I don't think the players quit on him in Philly. Howard, Angelo Bataldi, they all said he's a good guy. But I'll say this. The Giants are not
Pataldi.
Quitting. Okay. Go ahead.
Steiny, it was 6-4, and the Giants had two runners on with one out.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true because I looked and went,
okay.
Wow. I mean,
fair enough. So they only had a tying run on.
It was a decent call.
Like, B+. Give me a B+.
Please.
Come on. Well, that Astros bullpen is fire.
What, they got 10 rookies in a bullpen? How about this? You know, you watch that Dame Lillard game and you're watching the Mavs and Blazers and you got to go to that Giants game. And I was like, this stinks. Even Kruk and Kyle,
especially when you're down a TV.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would like, made you look bad, Bonte.
It did make me look bad, but it didn't make me look worse than this one right here. And Hunter Pence started everything off.
Pence goes the other way. Hit pretty well. It is out of here. Pence goes the other way, and we got a ball game.
Wow. And then here's Brandon Crawford in the extras.
Up the middle and a base hit. Coming in to score is Flores. The Giants take the lead. Moving down to second goes Slater. Crawford with the RBI single.
Boy, another good two-strike at bat.
Unbelievable. All right. I don't know. Hunter Pence going out to taco.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. First of all, I said, because I was literally taking out the trash. I said, you know what? Hunter Pence is coming up. I'm going to take out the trash right now. And so I had to rewind it. All I heard was Kipe. He hits it. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And he goes, hop on top.
That's what I'm saying now.
I said, oh, man. All right. I got to ride this one out. And then Brandon Crawford doesn't hit it at an infielder. A great two-strike approach. I did look bad yesterday. Your boy had a rough day looking at this Giants game. I looked terrible yesterday.
Hey, I got to tell you two something real quick. Play Dr. Phil for me, both of you. I was in the middle of a thought and got cut off. I don't know how it happened, but I didn't finish. So I'm like, your boy hurting a little bit. But let me just get back to what I was saying, Stoney. I was finishing a thought, and somehow the mic just got taken away from me. That's the first time it's happened on the show. But I just want to say this. If the Giants, who are one game back of the AC in the playoffs, if they make it, Steiny and Bonte, it won't cost them anything. How about that, Steiny? They're gonna. It won't cost them anything.
Okay. And that's I'll meet you halfway.
Okay.
I'll meet you halfway.
Because that win last night and Pence and your boy
Guru
Crawford.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, they got to give you something. You got to give you something better than what they've given you, and you're being competitive. What if they get hot? I'm just
Well, one thing I will say is, if you want to, you know, Guru's got the two scoreboards, And we got ourselves a win for Mr. Gabe Kapler last night. Using Pence in that pinch-hitting role.
Oh, my Lord.
Keeping Crawford at shortstop all game long. And then the last one. And I saw Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Nobody wanted Rodgers to try to save that game. And he came through with flying colors. Whether it's Kapler's
successful.
Gut or his spreadsheet, that guy can manage.
Right, how about this, though? When Rodgers is on, he looks like, how can anybody ever get a hit on him? And then when it's bad, it's just tragically bad. Whoa. But last night, I was like, oh, here it comes. ERA at 10. Dude. I mean, again, he looked like, you know, he knows what he's doing. But you look at that ERA, which is a pretty good indication of what he's doing mostly.
I thought, you know, when he was pitching to Correa, he almost threw the first pitch to the fifth row. And I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. I didn't tweet out anything because I was done. I put Twitter on ice after the 100-pitch three-run bomb. But I said he almost threw it to the fifth row, and then he threw one that was like, what did Crook say with Trump, like, or no, it was Hinneman, who, like, kept it from going to the backstop. It was like, whoa. Kipe said, like, whoa there. Ball one. And it was just like, Trevor Gott, Tyler Rogers. I mean, Kapler slander-proof. For the rest of the week. For the rest of the week.
Hey, you know what?
Slander proof.
Hey, have you seen that dude's arms? Kapler? I saw him. Yeah, dude, he's jacked.
He's a big,
dude,
that's why he doesn't eat ice cream.
Hey, Bonte, he had veins coming out the forearms. I'm like, Gabe's still in shape.
Kyle Batson, producer Kyle's in my ear.
The all-important question, though, Bonte, does Gabe Kapler eat for free in the Bay this week?
They win this game today and win the series. It gets greaky.
It couldn't hurt.
He's got a week of free tabs. We pick up the tab
it's
for a week.
Hey, it's easy. Yeah. He eats like kale leaves, and that's it.
I know. I mean, that is expensive.
Well, that's true.
That's a
expensive.
Who's the Twitter person that said Bonte gives that out like the Meter Maid gives out parking tickets?
Well, that is true. I mean, we got enough businesses in trouble in the Bay. They can't be feeding people for free at this point.
Well, Morikawa, what did I say? He eats for free at the Soul Food spot on Shattuck in Berkeley.
I loved it.
Angeline's.
Hey, what's up, Bonte? You feel my guy, man.
Good info.
Bobby Fitzgerald's going to join us at 12:30. He's calling games in the bubble. He's about to call playoff games for TNT. We'll ask him about Damian Lillard. I think we kind of know his answer, but we'll ask him anyway. Fitzgerald, our good friend here on BSNG. It's Guru Steiny Bonte right here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank Full Service Banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.